Veronica Christine Brunn to Willem Cornelis Slingeland in marriage to be his wife.
His mother, her mother.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 309, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. The Lord who has remembered us, his blessing will bestow. All those who fear his holy name, his loving care shall know. And what follows, Psalter 309, the first three stanzas.
Thank you.
a portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together. It can be found in John 6, the verses 22 through 35. De schriftlezing voor het middaguur kunt ge opgetekend vinden in Johannes 6, de versen 22 tot en met 35. John 6, de verses 22 through 35. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, and neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum, seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. A most merciful Lord of the heavens and of all the earth, And then it is in thy divine, thy special providence that we have gathered within the walls of thy house in this afternoon hour with a young couple, family circles, a congregation and friends, and that for a purpose ordered, a purpose most perfectly known unto thee. A young man and a young woman have come up to thy house to receive the desire of their heart to be united according to thy institution, under thy opened word, with the calling upon thy most holy name, to be united in holy matrimony, and to begin life's journey together as husband and wife, till death do them part. Lord, thou knowest how they have come up to thy house. May they have humbly tried to beg of thee that thou may be the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire, that may go before them to lead and to guide. May they have begged of thee that this marriage, not only in thy divine providence, but that it may be in thy divine favor, a marriage for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. Lord, may it please thee, in this hour in thy house, to grant them a broken and a humble heart, a little bewilderment. May they be given to see each other as a gift from above. Then it is extra special, Lord. Matters which we cannot give unto ourselves, because a humble, a broken, and a contrite heart, that is a gift which thy dear Son has merited for his church, and which he grants by the Holy Spirit. Lord, so we commend this couple unto thee. Then the thoughts do multiply, where it is so visible, an empty place, the family circle, a dear husband, a dear father is no more, cannot understand thy ways. To that end, may it please thee to uphold, to strengthen, and to grant the proper measure of joy on this day. Then thou makest a great difference where there is no difference. One of thy servants may be present with us. They have entered the theological school together with the deceased, unable to study together, unable to begin to speak an edifying word. But for husband and father, life's journey has come to an end, and thy servant may labor in the midst of his large flock. May the labors richly be blessed. Lord, do grant unto this couple a special place at thy footstool, where they may daily come with their blessings, their desires, their needs, the trials and troubles, and above all with their sins. May their first marriage gift, may it be the centerpiece of their marriage. Lord, remember them for the time. We live in solemn and serious times, wars, rumors of wars, many false Christs, the love of many waxing cold. But the King sitteth at thy right hand, and from thence he is gathering, defending, and preserving his church. To that end, Lord, do grant thy Holy Spirit that this couple may be given to seek thee early in their married life. And thou hast promised, those that seek me early, they shall find me. Then it is needful for each and every one that we come to a saving knowledge of the great bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has paid such a rich dowry to redeem his church. May this young couple, may they be given to first seek the kingdom of heaven. Lord, do spread thy gracious wings over them. Care, provide, protect, lead, and guide. When thou granteth prosperity, that they resemble not the children of Israel, that they grew fat, kicked backwards, and have forgotten their benefactor. And when thou sendest difficulties, not to become overly discouraged, but to be given to bend their knees and ask for thy gracious help. We commend unto thee the family circles, the parents. 'Tis a day of gladness and a day of joy. And then by renewal, we commend the widow unto thee. Wilt thou be a husband unto her? We remember the siblings, work lovingly and irresistibly by thy Holy Spirit. We commend unto thee the grandparents, the grandparents with us, the grandmother in the Netherlands. We commend both family circles unto thee. Commend unto thee the congregation, the friends. Do remember all the family circles. May love abound between husbands and wives, between parents and children. We commend unto thee all widowers and all widows and all those that mourn for the loss of loved ones. We now humbly beg of thee for a few simple words to speak. May it go forth with power divine. Grant unto this young couple on their special day the thoughts can so multiply and so wander, but may it please thee to grant a holy attention. We read in the scriptures that thou wert present at a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and thou wast done a great wonder. The water was turned into wine. There's a greater wonder when a heart of flesh is removed and replaced, a heart of stone is removed and replaced with a heart of flesh. Ah, Lord, do bless thy word to this young couple, to everyone present. May our eyes be upon thee, and may it also be for this young couple. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Willem and Veronica, I read in 2 Samuel 7, verse 18, that King David sat before the Lord. And so in this afternoon hour, you as a young couple may sit in a special way in God's house before the Lord, ready to be united in holy matrimony, to begin life's journey together as husband and wife, till death do you part. And then David has said, whom I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? May in this hour a humble and a broken heart to be given to reflect on the past, how you have met one another. May you have received one another in the way of prayer, given to reflect upon what has all transpired in your life, and now to be given to think of the present that the Lord has brought you hitherto. The future that lies before, that is hidden for us. Also the goodness and the wisdom of the Lord. Because if young couples knew what the Lord has laid before them, then there would be those couples that would have no courage to continue. And what is now needful? A profound impression that every good gift, every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of a turning. An impression of our dependency, an impression of the goodness of the Lord. It is true. It is a day where the thoughts multiply. Dear husband, a dear father, is no more, we cannot understand and fathom the ways of the Lord. The Lord uphold. But needful to remember that we have no continuing city. We ask the Lord to enter the form, the benediction speaks of a long life, but a long life in godliness and holiness. Also, this marriage, till death do you part. And to that end, may you not only be a hand and a foot for one another, pertaining to this life, but may it be granted by the Holy Spirit that you may be a hand and a foot for one another pertaining to the welfare of your never-dying soul. Oftentimes, when we think of these matters, then we think of eternity, rightly so, because eternity is forever. But young couple, Willem and Veronica, is the Lord then not good? When you may sit together, God's house, under His opened word, the calling upon the Lord's name, ready to make your vows and to be united in holy matrimony. This afternoon, our text words can be found in John 6, there of verse 27, the first part. John 6, verse 27, the first part. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Our text words speak of a serious word to a newly married couple laboring for their meat. And then with two thoughts, in the first place, laboring in moderation for the meat which perisheth, and in the second place, laboring with earnestness for the meat which endureth. For the grandmother, for those in the Netherlands, those that have come over, then a few words in Dutch. De tekstwoorden voor deze dag kunt ge opgetekend vinden in Johannes 6, vers 27, het eerste gedeelte. Werk niet om de spijs die vergaat, maar om de spijs die blijft tot in het eeuwige leven. Onze tekstwoorden spreken van een ernstig woord tot een nieuwgehuwd echtpaar werkende verspijs. En met twee gedachten in de eerste plaats, arbeiden in matigheid voor de spijze die vergaat. En in de tweede plaats, arbeiden met naastigheid voor de spijze die blijft tot in het eeuwige leven. In onze tekstwoorden, de tijd van het paasfeest, was er een grote menigte vergaderen rondom de prediking en de wonderen van Jezus Christus. En toen was Christus overgevaren naar de andere zijde, Een grote menigte volgde hem, ook al een voorrecht. Want in deze donkere dagen, grote menigte, afstand gedaan van Gods woord en van de kerk. En daar heeft een Heere zijn wonderen verrecht. 5000 mannen zonder vrouwen en kinderen verzadigd. Met de broden en met de vissen. En toen heeft Christus zijn discipelen gedrongen in het schip te gaan en te varen naar de andere zijde. En dan zouden wij denken, de discipelen volgens het bevel van Christus in de schip, overvarende, dan zal de reis voorspoedig zijn. Maar wij weten de story, een grote storm. Natuurlijk, als wij wandelen niet volgens dit goddelijk woord, dan hebben wij niets te verwachten dan tegenspoed en de oordelen des Heren. Christus is op de zee gekomen, de zee gestild, en toen ben ze in Capernaum aangekomen, en toen de menigte zag dat de discipelen in het schip gegaan zijn, en Jezus was er niet, toen ben ze ook naar de andere zijde gevaren. En daar hebben ze gevraagd omtrent deze dingen. En dan ging de spraak over het brood. En nu in onze tekstwoorden, dan lezen wij, werk niet om de spijze die vergaat. En dan zien wij in deze tekstwoorden dat wij schrift met schrift moeten vergelijken. Want wij werden geroepen om naastelijk te arbeiden voor ons dagelijks brood. En een groot voorrecht als de Heere sterkte en gezondheid schenkt om onze arbeid te verrichten. En die arbeid die moet gedaan worden met afhankelijkheid van de Heere, met een biddend opzien en ook met dankzegging voor de goede gave die de Heere ons schenkt. Natuurlijk, de ware dankzegging, dat is een gift en een genade die Christus voor zijn kerk verworven heeft en door die schenkt door de onmiddellijke bediening van de Heilige Geest. Maar wat de schuld van onze dagen, met al onze voorspoed, met het verstand dat een Heere dat er zo weinig erkentenis is. Dus in onze tekst, dan moeten wij het niet verstaan, wij schrift met schrift vergelijken. Wij werden geroepen om dagelijks te arbeiden. Maar ons dagelijks arbeid, dat is niet onze enige arbeid. Want onze tijd hier op de aarde, het is maar een korte tijd. Een eeuw, 100 jaar. Wat is dat vergeleken met de nimmere eindigende en alles beslissende eeuwigheid? Wij hebben niet alleen een lichaam, wij hebben ook een ziel. En Christus, die heeft gezegd in Matthäus 16, vers 26, wat baat het de mens als hij de gehele wereld wint en hij verliest zijn ziel? En daarom de woorden, werkt niet om de spijze die vergaat, maar om de spijze die blijft tot in het eeuwige leven. En dan in verband de brood des levens. Dat is de Heere Jezus Christus, die afgedaald is van den hemel, in Bethlehem het broodhuis geboren is. Hij is gebroken, gekruisigd, opgestaan, opgevaren ten hemel. En daar zit de koning aan de rechterhand van zijn vader. En vandaar vergaderende zijn kerk. En nu de tekstwoorden, maar om de spijze die blijft tot in het eeuwige leven. Wat is nu zo noodzakelijk? De werking van de Heilige Geest. En dat wij beginnen te hongeren en dorstigen naar gerechtigheid, naar de brood des levens. Van nature, dan hongeren wij naar de dingen van deze wereld. Maar, als de Heere dat goede werk begint, dan wordt het waarheid in ons leven. God werd waar, onze zonden werden waar. En dan is het dat goddelijk berouw dat tot bekering leidt. En dan roepen, of de genade is voor zulke zondaar als ik. Dan werd een arbeid geboren, want mensen, dan werden wij niet 100 jaar. Dan werd een haasten en een spoeden om ons levenswil. En daarom de woorden die Christus gesproken heeft tot Satan in Matthäus 4, in de verzoeking dat de mens niet alleen bij brood zal leven, maar bij elk woord dat uit Gods woord uitgaat. A serious word to a newly married couple laboring for their meat. Then in this chapter, the Passover was nigh. Today, this after the Passover. It's the Passover the same time as Easter. And then there was a great multitude that have followed Jesus. We read it in the first verses of this chapter. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And then further, then Jesus, in the verses 5 through 14, has fed a great multitude, few loaves and a few fishes, has constrained the disciples to enter into a ship and to sail to the other side. And oh, the blessed portion for those disciples, that their master went up into the mountain to pray. Also for protection, crossing the Sea of Galilee. We know the history. A great storm has risen, we would think, for those disciples in obedience. They have entered the ship, sailed to the other side. Great storm has come. Then what shall happen to us when we walk in the way of disobedience? Then we can surely expect the displeasure of the Lord, his judgments. The people, they have also come to Capernaum. And then we read In verse 1, the people saw that Jesus was not there. They took shipping. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Thus it is implied that those miracles have also become common. I hope, young couple, that there may be times in your married life also concerning the Lord's providence, that there may be those times that you become small and humble, and that you may tell one another, this is now the Lord's doing. Answer upon our prayers that the Lord has helped when we did not know it was possible. Of course, providential deliverances, that is not a foundation for eternity. We need, by the Spirit, uncovered, discovered, to become a poor and lost sinner, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, and brought to a saving knowledge of the Son of God as the bread of life. And then Jesus has said, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. And then we have our text. Labor not for the meat which perisheth. Then it is clear, see the importance, that we compare Scripture with Scripture and that we read the whole Bible. Because it is clearly commanded in God's Word, after our deep fallen Adam in Genesis 3, that we are to labor in the sweat of our face. We read in the Scriptures in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, what thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Proverbs 13, verse 4, soul of the diligent shall be made fat, but the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. Thus clearly commanded, and together, to labor for our daily needs, we hope that the Lord may bless you with a family, the husband, the breadwinner, the wife in the home. And then what a privilege and what a blessing it is when the Lord grants health, strength, desire, joy, fulfillment in our labors. And then we are called upon to do it in dependence upon the Lord, realizing Proverbs 10, verse 22, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. Psalm 127, there it is clearly declared that the Lord needs to bless our labors. And what else? Also an acknowledgement, even with our mind, when the Lord helps, and grants the increase, and what else? Also to examine our hearts, the purpose of all our laboring. Is it all for self? Or is it also for the poor, for our neighbor, and for the coming of Christ's kingdom? But now when in our text it states, not to labor for the meat that perisheth, then it means that not foremost and not only. Because they read in Matthew 16, verse 26, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and he lose his soul? 1 Timothy 6, brought nothing into the world, we can take nothing out. And therefore the earnest exhortation in our text words, to be given to labor for that meat, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, implying that we are commanded, that we are exhorted to earnestly seek the Lord, that by his free and sovereign grace we may be saved, pardoned of all of our sins, and how that laboring the word of God, because we read in Romans 10 verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Thus to be given to read it, to pray over it, to search it, and say, Lord, wilt thou bless thy holy word to two poor sinners that have begun life's journey together. John 5, verse 39, search the scriptures, for they are they which testify of me, and in them ye think ye have eternal life. Labor, God's house, a central place in our life. It's where the Lord's presence is promised, Matthew 18, verse 20. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them, to labor for that meat. And then it is clear, we have heard it, Christ was given to explain what that meat was. Christ is the bread of life. He has come down from heaven into Bethlehem, the bread house, assumed our human nature. The bread of life was broken, crucified, dead and buried, but he is risen. And he sitteth at the right hand of the Father. From thence, he is gathering, defending, and preserving his church. And in John 10, verse 16, Christ, as the good shepherd, has declared, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. The world may still stand, because there is still a church, a chosen church to be gathered, by word and by spirit, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. young people. May that be our prayer. May that be our portion. Then it is well for the time. Then it shall be well for eternity. And upon that preaching, then the multitude, they had a question. Hope there may also arise questions in your lives, in your hearts. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Just answer, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Then we read that work holiness, the pride of man, wants to merit salvation, and with that command to believe. Nowhere in God's word does it state that man is enabled of himself to believe. And then further, then they have come with excuses. Willem, Veronica, may that be your portion. May it be bound upon the heart. May you be given to speak often to one another. And that you say, we are so privileged, so blessed. Outwardly, the Lord also helps. But we need that living God. We need to be forgiven. We need to be saved. We need to be reconciled. Christ has said in Matthew 4, verse 4, Stood was the Satan, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. Let us sing together of Psalter 415, the stanzas 2 and 3. Unto me, O Lord Jehovah, show thy ways and teach thou me, so that by thy Spirit guided clearly I thy paths may see. In het Nederlands, Psalm 25, de versen 2 en 3, Psalter 415, 2 en 3. we shall now read the form for the solemnization of marriage before the church, which you can find on page 156 in the back of the Psalter. Whereas married persons are generally, by reason of sin, as subject to many troubles and afflictions, to the end that you, Willem Cornelis Slingeland, and Veronica Kerstrien Brun, who desire to have your marriage bond publicly solemnized here in the name of God before this church, may also be assured in your hearts of the certain assistance of God in your afflictions. Hear therefore from the word of God how honorable the marriage state is, and that it is an institution of God which is pleasing to him. Wherefore he also will, as he hath promised, bless and assist the married persons, and on the contrary, judge and punish whoremongers and adulterers. In the first place, you are to know that God our Father, after he had created heaven and earth and all that in them is, made man in his own image and likeness, that he should have dominion over the beast of the field, over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air. And after he had created man, he said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Therefore ye are not to doubt, but that the marriage state is pleasing to the Lord, since he made unto Adam his wife, brought and gave her himself to him to be his wife, witnessing thereby that he doth yet as with his hand bring unto every man his wife. For this reason the Lord Jesus Christ did also highly honored with his presence gifts and miracles in Cana of Galilee, to show thereby that this holy state ought to be kept honorably by all, and that he will aid and protect married persons even when they are least deserving it. But that you may live godly in this state, you must know the reasons wherefore God hath instituted the same. The first reason is that each faithfully assists the other in all things that belong to this life and a better. Secondly, that they bring up the children which the Lord shall give them in the true knowledge and fear of God to his glory and their salvation. Thirdly, that each of them, avoiding all uncleanness and evil lust, may live with a good and quiet conscience. For to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and every woman her own husband, insomuch that all who are come to their years and have not the gift of continence are bound by the command of God to enter into the marriage state with knowledge and consent of parents, so that the temple of God, which is our body, may not be defiled. For whosoever defileth the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Next, you are to know how each is bound to behave respectively towards the other, according to the word of God. First, you who are the bridegroom must know that God has set you to be the head of your wife, that you according to your ability shall lead her with discretion, instructing, comforting, protecting her, as the head rules the body. Yea, as Christ is the head, wisdom, consolation, and assistance to his church. Besides, you are to love your wife as your own body, as Christ hath loved his church. You shall not be bitter against her, but dwell with her as a man of understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, considering that ye are joint heirs of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And since it is God's command that the man shall eat his bread in the sweat of his face, therefore you are to labor diligently and faithfully in the calling wherein God has set you, that you may maintain your household honestly and likewise have something to give to the poor. In like manner must you who are the bride know how you are to carry yourself toward your husband according to the word of God. You are to love your lawful husband, to honor and fear him, as also to be obedient unto him in all lawful things as to your Lord. As the body is obedient to the head, and the church to Christ. You shall not exercise any dominion over your husband, but be silent. For Adam was first created, and then Eve, to be in help to Adam, and after the fall, God said to Eve, and in her to all women, your will shall be subject to your husband. You shall not resist this ordinance of God, but be obedient to the word of God, and follow the examples of godly women who trusted in God and were subject to their husbands, as Sarah was obedient to Abraham, calling him her Lord. You shall also be in help to your husband in all good and lawful things, looking to your family and walking in all honesty and virtue without worldly pride, that you may give an example to others of modesty. Wherefore you, Willem Cornelis Slingelant, and you, Veronica Christine Brown, having now understood that God hath instituted marriage, and what he commands you therein, are you willing thus to behave yourselves in this holy state, as you here do confess before this Christian assembly and desires that you be confirmed in the same, what is your answer before the Lord and in the midst of the congregation?
Yes.
I take you all who are met here that there is brought no lawful impediment. Since then it is fit that you be furthered in this your work, The Lord God confirm your purpose which he hath given you, and your beginning be in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I now ask you to join right hands. Willem Cornelis Slingelant, do you acknowledge here before God and this is holy church that you do take to your lawful wife, Veronica Christine Braun, here present, promising her never to forsake her, to love her faithfully, to maintain her, as a faithful and pious husband is bound to do to his lawful wife, that you will live holily with her, keep in faith and truth to her in all things, according to the Holy Gospel. What is your answer before the Lord and in the midst of the congregation? Yes. Veronica Christine Braun, do you acknowledge here before God and this is holy church that you do take to your lawful husband, Willem Cornelis Slingelant, here present, promising to be obedient to him, to serve and assist him, never to forsake him, to live holily with him, keeping faith and truth to him in all things, as a pious and faithful wife is bound to her lawful husband, according to the Holy Gospel. What is your answer before the Lord and in the midst of the congregation? Yes. William Cornelis, do you give this ring as a symbol of your constant faithfulness and abiding love to your bride, Veronica Christine? Veronica Christine, do you give this ring as a symbol of your constant faithfulness and abiding love to your bridegroom, Willem Cornelis?
I do.
According to the province of Alberta, but above all in the name of the Lord, I now declare you, Willem Cornelis Slingelant and Veronica Christine Braun, to be lawfully united in holy matrimony as husband and wife, the Father of all mercies, who of his grace hath called you to this holy state of marriage, bind you in true love and faithfulness, and grant you his blessing. Amen. Hear now from the Gospel how firm the bond of marriage is as described in Matthew 19, the verses 3 through 9. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him, Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife except it be for fornication, and shall marry another committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. Believe these words of Christ, and be certain and assured that your Lord God had joined you together in this holy state. You are therefore to receive whatever befalls you therein with patience and thanksgiving as from the hand of God. And thus all things will turn to your advantage and salvation. Amen. We now ask the congregation to sing together from Psalter 436, the second stanza. We ask the bridegroom and bride to kneel with the singing of the third line, to remain kneeling while we pray, and then after prayer for the congregation to arise and to sing the third stanza. Thus first we sing Psalter 436, stanza 2. Almighty God, thou who dost manifest thy goodness and wisdom in all thy works and ordinances, and from the beginning hast said that it is not good that man be alone, and therefore hast created him and helped me to be with him, and ordained that they who were two should be one, and who dost also punish all impurity, we pray thee, since thou hast called and united these two persons in the holy state of marriage, that thou wilt give them thy Holy Spirit, so that they in true love and firm faith may live holily according to thy divine will, and resist all evil. Wilt thou also bless them as thou wast blessed the believing fathers, thy friends and faithful servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in order that they as co-heirs of the covenant, which thou hast established with these fathers, may bring up their children, which thou wilt be pleased to give them in the fear of the Lord, to the honor of thy holy name, to the edification of thy church, and to the extension of the Holy Gospel. Hear us, Father of all mercy, for the sake of Jesus Christ, thy beloved Son, our Lord, in whose name we conclude our prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We now ask the congregation to arise and to sing Psalter 436, the third stanza. Of the consistory and congregation of Pitcher Butte, I may present to you a newly married couple, your first marriage gift, and that is the Holy Word of God. And your first marriage gift, that is so different from all other gifts that you shall receive. It has the preeminence. The first place, it is a holy gift, inspired by the Holy Spirit. His words are all true. The second place, the usefulness of that gift. Other gifts you shall receive, they shall have different uses, but none comparable to your first gift. Because that gift, that is not only for the time, instruction for a newly married couple, how to walk, how to talk. But in your first marriage gift, there is spoken of the bread of life, how that sinners can be saved, the work of a triune God, and how that shall be experienced. We have heard it. Labor not for the meat that perisheth, for the meat that endureth unto everlasting life. Your first marriage gift, other gifts, some maybe break, some lose their usefulness. Certain gifts, they may last till the day of death, but only for the time. And now your first marriage gift, that shall go with you into eternity. The great day of judgment, then the judge shall ask Willem, Veronica, what have you done with your first wedding gift? Have you searched it prayerfully? Has it been blessed? The book shall be opened. I read in 1 Samuel 2 verse 30, those that honor me, I will honor, but those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Thus the happiness and the blessedness of your married life that depends upon the use of your first marriage gift. To that end, may you be given to prayerly search it, asking the Lord for the work of the Holy Spirit in your hearts, that you may be brought to a saving knowledge, the bread of life. Willem, you have received a dear wife in this day, but you have also become head of your wife. And that brings a great responsibility. We need husbands with backbone that stand for the old truth and the old ways. Concerning your dear wife, you must be a lamb. But concerning what is right, you must be a lion. The Lord grant us help. He bless your first marriage gift by the work of the Holy Spirit. You may be seated. Parents, a special day for you when you may witness the marriage of your children. Then a great difference. Slingelands may still be united in holy matrimony. Mrs. Brun, a widow. The Lord continue to uphold and remember you in this day. The thought shall multiply. May your children continually be carried upon the wings of prayer. Siblings, a special service. The Lord remember you. May it be granted by the grace of God to seek that bread of life that endureth to eternity. Grootouders, a voorrecht dat u nog getuige mag zijn in Nederland mee luisteren de bruiloft van uw kleinkinderen. Mogen ze maar gedragen worden op de vleugelen des gebeds. And the extended family circle all present. The message also comes to us. Labor not for the bread that perisheth, but for that bread that endureth to eternal life. We shall read from Psalm 128. The marker should be in the Bible. Hearken now to the promise of God from Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. The Lord our God replenish you with his grace, and grant that ye may long live together in all godliness and holiness. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, thou hast granted in thy mercy and in thy providence that in this afternoon that two may become one. By renewal we commend them unto thee. Ah, do bless thy holy word to their never dying souls. Do convert them early, as thou dost convert all thy people. Remember both family circles, then by renewal. Then we commend the widow unto thee. May it please thee to grant the proper measure of joy. Grant traveling mercies. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 360, the five stanzas. Bless the man that fears Jehovah, walking ever in his ways. By thy toil thou shalt be prospered and be happy all thy days. And what follows, Psalter 360, the five stanzas. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. We now ask everyone to be seated while the marriage license shall be signed. Now present to you Mr. and Mrs. Willem Slingeland.